Hi, I'm Dr. Sho, and we're going to be talking about sexual intercourse, which is a really important part of women's lives. So let's just dive straight in. What is sexual intercourse? It's a physical act for pleasure and reproduction, or both. And there are various forms, including vaginal sex, anal sex, oral sex, fingering, dildo penetration, which is using a sex toy, also known as a dildo, which can be shaped into the form of a penis. It's like a plastic penis, basically, and people use it for vaginal or anal penetration, or even oral penetration as well. So cultural norms influence perceptions of what is normal in sexual activity. So this does vary across the world, but generally speaking, we consider normal to be consensual intercourse between two people who are deemed able or legally able to give that consent, and that's what is considered to be normal sexual activity. But how people manifest that sexual activity is very, very, very variable, and we've already talked about some of those forms. So now let's talk about the phases of sexual activity. So firstly, there's kind of desire, which it's not on the slide, but it's something that comes before arousal. And arousal means kind of increased blood flow to the parts of the body that are involved in sexual activity, and that can cause things like clitoral stimulation, vaginal loop, and then there's also vaginal lubrication. And then that then goes into climax, which is an intense pleasurable sensation, and that occurs with rhythmic contractions, but that looks very different for different people. Some people have a more dramatic orgasm, and some people have less dramatic orgasm, and that's, you know, that varies, and that's different. And then there's the return to the normal state after climax. Now, what's not normal are things like persistent pain, and we talk about superficial pain, so that's pain around the vagina or vulva, or deep pain, which is pain in the pelvis, so deep within during intercourse. Neither of these things are normal. Also having difficulty being aroused when there's sufficient desire, that's also a problem and needs to be discussed. Bleeding with sex is usually not normal, and also if there's sort of unpleasant odors or unpleasant discharge and things like that, that could be a sign of infection, and that's not normal as well. Now there's other things like vaginismus, which is a situation in which women have a difficulty allowing penetration, and the vagina kind of contracts in a very painful and uncomfortable way, and that makes it very difficult for penetration to occur. That's a very challenging condition that some women have. Also loss of interest, so something called low libido, that's also an issue that is not normal. And then also difficulty reaching climax, although as I've explained, climax doesn't look the same for everybody. So if you're comparing yourself with things like pornography or things like that is shown on Hollywood, and you're saying, oh, I'm not, it doesn't happen for me like that, that's probably not what we mean by difficulty reaching climax, but it's just not having that pleasurable sensation that leads to resolution during intercourse. And it's really important to consult healthcare professionals for advice if you're not sure, or if you're feeling like you have any of these issues. Now, women's sexual health is really, really important, and one of the main things is about being able to communicate your desires and expectations of sexual intercourse, and that creates more ease within the sexual experience. Also encouragement for self-exploration, so, and using sex toys. So it's important that we actually explore our own bodies, and I know that there's a lot of taboo about this, but if we don't know what we want, how can we express that to our partners? Now also addressing anxiety, discomfort, and discussing previous sexual trauma, and that might be something that needs to be processed with a therapist or a sexual counselor, because you know, that many people might have had negative experiences, and that can really impact their ability to have healthy sexual lives. And then very, very, very important is safe sex. And that means reducing the risk of sexually transmitted infections, but also thinking about the risk of pregnancy, and therefore you want to make sure that if you are having sex with a male partner and there's a risk of pregnancy, that you're preventing that using contraception. And if there is you know, a risk of sexually transmitted infections, you're using a condom to protect against that, so that you can feel more confident and have a more pleasurable sexual experience. Also, we've already talked about this a little bit, but addressing sexual dysfunction is a kind of multifaceted thing. There really can be a lot of unprocessed sexual trauma. So sexual abuse is actually something that's quite rife, and many people have, you know, deep trauma that they might not feel comfortable talking about. There's a lot of taboo within the community, within our communities, about discussing sexual trauma, but it can actually then come out in sexual dysfunction, and can cause big problems. So those sorts of things can be processed with you know, talking about it in a trusted space, with a healthcare professional or a sexual therapist, and going through the process of healing from that trauma. And it's also important that within a relationship, sexual intimacy is prioritized, and there's enough communication about the challenges that might occur. Actually, sex needs to be practiced in order for that sexual relationship to be at its best. Is something that can improve over time. Then also, people have different definitions of romance and different things that they enjoy. So it's important to have conversations with partners to ensure that information is communicated appropriately. And to be clear, partners can either be male or female for women. Now, people have different sexual appetites. So some people might have a higher sexual appetite, and it's important that in a relationship these things are communicated. And also, intimacy is broader than sex, and it's important that that's factored in into any sexual relationship. And it's important to address differences in sexual desire, differences in what people want or need in a sexual relationship, and to explore options in that relationship. So when do you need to seek professional help? So if you're having difficulties in your sexual relationship with your partner, or you're having any of those issues that we talked about, like pain, bleeding, and any other kind of difficulties with penetration, or you're not enjoying sex, or you don't have the desire for sex, any of those sorts of issues, or if there's unprocessed sexual trauma, then you need to seek professional help. And there's lots of different types of healthcare professionals. So a family physician or a GP should be able to provide some help. But then people that have more experience include a sexual health specialist or psychosexual counselors or therapists, and they might be able to provide help. And you can even have sexual therapy in your relationship to improve your sexual the sexual part of your relationship. And there's really important to be to communicate, to be for there to be consent, and for there to be mutual respect in any sexual activity. As I said, there's an interplay of psychology with vaginal health and sexual health. Now, vaginal health is something that we're going to explore in future talks, but really important, just very briefly, to make sure that the vagina is adequately moisturized and not dry. And things that dry out the vagina include things like soap or douching, and things that change or alter the pH of the vagina, and that can cause problems. So maintaining good vaginal health will also improve your sexual well-being. But also, we already mentioned about sexual health, so thinking about protection against sexually transmitted infections, and that comes and then also thinking about contraception, and those are the kind of things that you can reach out to healthcare professionals. But when we're having problems with sexual intercourse and sexual relationships, it's really important to remember that all of these things, the psychology, the vaginal health, sexual health, it's all an interplay. And options like psychosexual counseling, mindfulness, physiotherapy, then that can be particularly useful with things like vaginismus, where you can have tools to try and improve that. Medication can also be helpful in certain circumstances, and just, you know, ensuring that we build on physical signs or symptoms to address them, to ensure that sex is enjoyed as well. So anything that is negatively impacting that sexual relationship should be addressed. This is a difficult but very important topic, and we've just had a brief talk about it, really just opening up the conversation. There's more information on the Dr. Showcare's blog. Women's sexual health is crucial for emotional and physical well-being, but a satisfying sexual life requires self-reflection and candid communication. So if you have any questions, you can put them in the comments, we'll be able to help answer those. But I hope you've enjoyed this talk. And I really hope that you continue to work on having a happy and fulfilling sexual life. Thank you. I'm Dr. Sho, and we'll see you next time on Dr. Sho Cares.